Larry and Sue will be flying back from Seattle on New Year's Day, and so he'll be with us then. We need someone to light all the candles. Who's going to do that this morning? I'm pointing this Jace Foss. He's supposed to, and he's not going to. So who else would like to light the candles? Do we have a volunteer? I'll help you if you need this. Or your mom can help you. How's that? Get your mom to help you. Bill will even light it for you. We want all the candles lit. Okay? Everyone. Yeah, you help her. You can light them in any order you choose, even. Today, our service is going to include no prepared service. There's no sermon. There's no organist because she's in
San Diego.
Yeah. And but we're going to sing. Going to sing a cappella. Where I don't do good, Loretta will up a little bit. She doesn't know that, but she is. Colleen, did you have something about the inserts?
I think it's self-explanatory. I just want the congregation to know that we've been working on the brick project primarily, but we do have other things that are optional, and we're still working on this. And if you have any comments or thoughts, talk to Lois or to me or Chris Johns or Bill Hawley, and we'll try to fill you in. But we got a kind of an exciting year coming up, and right now we're trying to push the bricks. We have 100 bricks at the brick engraver in Sheridan, and we're ready to start printing.
Okay. So if you have signed up or want to, either do it or talk to Colleen after the worship service. Okay, we have a question. You all know, have heard about the 12 days of Christmas. When's the first day of Christmas and when's the last day of Christmas? Does anyone know? What's the first day of Christmas? When? Today? No, not today. When's the first day of Christmas? Is it on Christmas Day or after Christmas Day?
On Christmas Day.
On Christmas Day. And if that's the case, then Saturday is the last day of Christmas. And next Sunday is Epiphany Sunday. I know it's Epiphany Sunday for sure. Well, we looked it up and you're right. Christmas Day. Christmas Day is the first day of Christmas, and the last one will be this Saturday. Okay. We are going to talk about singing and songs. We're going to do a lot of singing today. I thought it would be fun today to just sing Christmas carols. I think we've done a lot more of that this year than in the past, and I've heard people expressing appreciation for it. When you think about it, much of the history of the world is passed down in songs and stories that people have told. For example, we think that a lot of the first part of the Old Testament was stories that were told. And Larry told me that, and I didn't realize, you know, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, if you wanted to be not a scholar, what was it called, a teacher, you had to memorize those five books, and they would do it. Or to be a good disciple, you'd memorize it word for word. Try doing that. I know there's 50 chapters in Genesis, and all the begets and begots and all that stuff in there. Anyway, the early worship in the church was songs, and it was sung. And we know the book of Psalms really means songs. We know they were sung, but we don't know anything about it. We don't have any notes or nomenclature, any way to understand it. Around 550 AD, Gregory the Great, they did write down what's called Gregorian chant. A lot of you heard of Gregorian chant. It's sort of nice, it's different. but anyway, and even before Luther, Germans loved to sing. And that was the basis of the German of the Lutheran Church, anyway. And so, music is sort of a universal language, and it tells stories. And so, we want to do that today: tell the stories and think about it. I'd like you to turn to 268 in your hymnal. 268, From Heaven Above. The Lutheran Church wasn't as known as a singing church. Luther published the first hymnal. Does anyone know how many hymns he had in it? There was eight. Eight hymns in the first hymnal. And he wrote four of them. And so the other four, I don't know who wrote them, but one was From Heaven Above. And so you see in your hymnal, there's 14 verses. Actually, there was supposed to be 15, so I don't know why they left out the 15th verse. But we're going to try singing the first two verses. And, by the way, all of you should have a hymnal at home that you use in your devotions. I don't know, I don't think we think about it. I know a lot of you say, well, I can't sing. Well, most of you really mean I'm sort of embarrassed about singing, or I don't think that I sing very well. But most of us sing. Most of us have the ability to do it, and sometimes we just need to go in a closet or a shower or someplace and sing where no one can hear us, you know, and then we can do it. But this is really, when you think about songs, and we're going to see this, they tell a story. A song is very often a sermon, if you like, and so you can read them or you can say them. But we're going to try From Heaven Above, the first two verses. From heaven above to earth I come, to bear good news to every home. Glad tidings of great joy I bring, to all the world and gladly sing. To you this night is born a child, a Mary chosen virgin mild. This newborn child of lowly birth shall be the joy of all the earth. And so forth. And you do a good job. And so go through this really talks about what happened. And so that's really, like I said, I think we could call it a sermon in there if you'd like. I'd like you to turn to 277, Away in a Manger. This is very often thought of as Luther's cradle hymn, except Luther didn't write it. And as you see at the bottom, it says it was written by James Murray, who lived 1841 to 1905. But we think it's something that Luther would have approved of. So let's sing the first two verses of Away in a Manger.
Away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky look, no crying he makes. I love you, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is done.
And so turn to 281. After the Reformation, 281. After the Reformation, the Roman Catholic Church began publishing hymns. You know, sort of a competition. One group can't do it, another not, or can do it, not another. So one of the ones that they published was Beautiful Savior, which is one of my favorite hymns. I guess I learned that when I was a wee little child in Sunday school, and I've liked it ever since. But Silent Night is one that's, the composer was Franz Gruber, and so let's sing the first and second verse of Silent Night.
Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon Virgin Mother and Child, Holy Infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Left the third one. No, the third one.
Silent night, holy night, Son of God, lost your light, radiant beam from your holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at your birth, Jesus, Lord, at your birth.
And maybe I'm talking about, you have heard the name Isaac Watts, and he was considered the father of English hymnody. He was a pastor in the Reformed Church, and he wrote 267, Joy to the World, when he was 18 years old. And so we'll sing the first and last verses of Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love.
And then in Denmark, we got some Danes here. Do you know the name of the composer? Nikolai Grundtvig wrote some hymns that we have, and one of them was 298. 298, The Bells of Christmas. We might not know this one quite as well, but we'll see if we can do the first one and the last one, which is verse 6, printed at the bottom.
The bells of Christmas chime once more, the heavenly guest is at the door, he Come, Jesus, glorious heavenly guest, and keep your Christmas in our breast. Then David's harp strings hush so long shall swell our jubilee of song.
Not quite as good as some of the others, but that doesn't matter. My wife keeps reminding me we're supposed to make a joyful sound to the Lord. Sometimes it's just joyful. Anyway, turn to 271. And we have a Norwegian one here by Peter Knudsen. That sounds sort of Norwegian. And it's called I Am So Glad Each Christmas Eve. And I know I remember one Christmas Eve we didn't sing this, and a number of people in the congregation complained that they're supposed to be sung on Christmas Eve. So anyway, we're going to sing the first three verses of this one. Okay?
I am so glad each Christmas Eve, the night of Jesus' birth, then like the sun the stars shone forth, and angels sang on earth. The little child in Bethlehem, he was a king indeed. For he came down from heaven above to help a world in need. He dwells again in heaven's realm, the Son.
Hate it when people say, do the first and last verse. Well, the middle verses say something too. That's why they're there. And so it's important to do that. Anyway, let's take a quick break here, and Dean's going to read the lessons for us. You have those in your bulletin.
First reading is from the second chapter of 1 Samuel. Having dedicated her son Manuel to God's service, Hannah visits him every year when she and her husband Elkanah come to the Lord's house to offer sacrifices. God grants Hannah more children, and Samuel himself gains favor in the sight of all. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with the children by this woman for this gift that she made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. The word of God, word of life. In your bulletin, we'll read Psalm 148 responsively. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all you angels.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Sing praise, all your shining stars.
Praise the Lord, heaven and heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded and they were created.
Who made them stand fast forever and ever, giving them a law that shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and fog, tempestuous wind, doing God's will.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, world.
Young men and maidens, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven.
The Lord has raised up strength for the people, and praise for all faithful servants, the children of Israel, the people who are near the Lord. Hallelujah.
The second reading is from the third chapter of Colossians. Just as newly baptized Christians in the early church were clothed with white robes upon arising from the baptismal waters, so all who have received God's gift of life in Jesus Christ are covered with the character of Christ. Verse 12, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if someone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the same one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to the God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to God the Father through him, word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
And you notice how Paul in Colossians is talking about singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. As you remember, the reading from Samuel talks about the boy Samuel in the temple. And we see that the reason for that choice is because today it's about Jesus in the temple. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up, as usual, for the festival. When the festival was ended, they started to return. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. I want to continue with some of our hymns. If you turn to 270, want to look at John. I say John Wesley, it's really his brother. Let me tell you a story about my name. You know my name is John Wesley Orwig. My father's father was John Sylvester, and my mother's father was Wesley, forget his middle name now. Anyway, my mother was a Methodist when she married my father, who was a Lutheran, and she decided that rather than not going to church at all, they would go to the Lutheran church. And so she always told me that I was named after my grandfather's. But I think it was really her way of getting that Methodist stuff in there to name me John Wesley. Anyway, John Wesley had a brother named Charles Wesley. He composed over 6,000 hymns. 6,000 hymns by Charles Wesley. And one of them is what you have here, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So let's do verses 1 and 3. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all you nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, rich with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die. Born to raise each child of earth, born to give a second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Have you ever thought of the hymnal as being an ecumenical book? I mean, what if we just had only Lutheran hymns in here? It wouldn't be very big, you know, but we have from all various denominations and walks of life that we call Christian, we have hymns in here. Okay, then turn to 296. What Child Is This? It's written by William Dix at the age of 29. While he was an English hymn writer, he was struck with a near fatal illness and confined to bed rest for several months. During that time, he went into deep depression, and yet out of this near-death experience, he wrote this hymn, which I think we all love very much. Let's sing all three verses. What child is this? What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch our keep. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where Christians fear for sinners, hear the silent word is pleading. Nails pierced shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail the word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary.
on him, the King of Kings, salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise the song on high, the Virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
And don't, even in many of the Christmas carols, we have sort of allusions to what will happen later in Jesus' life. You saw that in verse 2, talking about him dying on the cross. Then, let me see, I gotta get, turn to 269. 269. So some of the notes I have here I got from Larry, and some here I have from the, it's called a one-year book of hymns. And the idea of this is to look at a hymn every day of the year. And so this one, it was written by Cecil Alexander. She was a pastor's wife. She liked to work with the poor and the downtrodden. And this was a way of teaching people. She wrote, first, all things bright and beautiful, as in the Apostles' Creed, talking about God the Creator. And then God the Son here, she wrote this one, once in Royal David City. And then the one she wrote for the last part, I didn't even know the hymn myself, so I thought we would leave that one be. But once in Royal David City, let's do the first two verses.
Once in Royal David City stood a lonely cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ her little child. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall. With the poor and meek and lowly lived on earth our Savior holy.
Let's do verse 3.
And our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. For that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above. And he leads his children on to the place where he is gone.
I've never heard of it, but I thought it'd be neat to have a catechism that teaches the basics of the faith through song. And we just have different songs for different parts, or maybe different verses of certain songs as we're teaching a part of the of Christian faith. Then if you turn to 300, Noël is a French word. I'll read some of this too. It comes from the Latin natalis, meaning birth, or from the Latin novella, meaning new. In one sense, Noel refers to the whole Christmas season. Another refers to the good news that Jesus Christ has come. The first Noel, this song says, was sung by an angel to poor shepherds. The chorus rings out like a corner paperboy. News, news, news. Hear you all about it. King of Israel, born today. Early folk carols, such as this one, often had a memorable chorus and many stanzas. each presenting some new aspect and story. An individual or group could sing a stanza, perhaps one newly made up, and the whole crowd would join in the refrain then. So we're going to try that. I'm going to sing the first verse, and then you come in on the refrain. Loretta's going to sing the second verse, and then we'll come in on the refrain. And we'll all do all of verse 5 then. The first Noel the angels did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, Noel, there, and then we sing the Noel, and then someone else, you know, you could have 100 verses to this song, and just those that don't sing well, or those that don't know, then we just sing the chorus. And so that, I think, is one way that it was done, or may have been done. We'll take the offering at this time. Prayers, sort of what I'm calling an ad-lib prayer. Dean's prepared to do the prayers, but I told him we're not going to do them. We are going to do prayers. But I'd like you, if any of you have any petitions you'd like to offer, to give them to me now, and then I'll put them together in a prayer. So any requests?
A miracle for Dan.
Prayers for Dan.
Alice and Lowell.
Lowell doesn't even recognize people sometimes. Saw him yesterday. When he heard my voice, he opened his eyes and, oh, that guy is here again. But yeah. Anyway.
He opened his eyes and I went in and said, there's cold hands.
Okay.
He forgets my name, but he knows they have cold hands.
Oh, okay, so the woman of cold hands will know. That would be an Indian name. Any other requests?
Safe trip for Larry and Sue.
Okay, Larry and Sue, a safe trip. Anything else? Dennis, should we include you in our prayers for health? Okay.
This is not political, but I think we should remember the ones that are working and not expecting a paycheck for a while.
Okay.
Some of them are really having a rough time. The mortgage is due.
Okay.
But
so how about that our Congress could learn to work together, both Democrats
right.
and Republicans?
That sounds great.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
Have a great new year.
A great new year, yes.
Keep our military safe.
Military. Anything else?
Bless all of God's creatures. All
yes. Bless God's creatures. Okay. Well, let us pray then. Dear Lord, we come to you on this your day of worship, our day of worship, to worship you as a king in our lives, someone who came as a baby into this world, and to be with us forever, both now and through eternity. We ask for health for Dan, for Ellis and Lowell, for Dennis, and those others that we name in our hearts, family, friends, relatives. We ask that you give safe travel for Pastor Larry and Sue on their way back to Buffalo on New Year's Day. We'd ask that you would be with our Congress and give them the ability and willingness to work more together and to accomplish the great things that they could in doing so. We look forward with anticipation for the new year that's coming, and we ask that it can be a blessed year. You have blessed us so richly in this congregation, in this community, and we ask your blessings to continue, that you'd be with our military, as some of them cannot be home at this time, but are in different places in the world serving you. And we ask you to bless all creatures near and far, and we just thank you for your many blessings, and we ask you to hear us as we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Okay, 283, if you turn to that one. We've got just about three more hymns here. This was written by John Francis Wade. He made his living copying manuscripts by hand. He became famous for his artistic calligraphy and a knack for copying music as well. Scholars have debated whether he merely copied the Christmas hymns or whether he actually wrote it, but recent scholarship indicates that he did in fact write the hymn. It was originally written in Latin as a Deste Fidelis. He was a Roman Catholic, and if you remember right, all the services in the Roman Catholic Church used to be in Latin. In 1750, so this goes back a few years, he slipped this hymn into a manuscript he was copying for the English Roman Catholic College in Lisbon, Portugal.
Over 30 years later, in 1785, it was sent to the Portuguese chapel in London. The Duke of Leeds heard it sung there and included it in the repertoire of his own singing group. It soon became known around the world. And so let's sing the first and last verse of O Come All Ye Faithful, 283.
O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, for the King of angels, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him in Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee on this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him.
You turn to 290. This is the one that our children learned this year and did a really good job of singing when they had the program a couple weeks ago. Around the turn of the century, every Christmas at Fisk University began the song. I haven't the slightest idea where Fisk University is. Does anyone know? England, United States, I've never heard of it before. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The Jubilee Singers, a nationally known choir based at the Nashville School. Oh, maybe it's Tennessee, huh? Could be. Got up at 5 o'clock in the morning to stroll the campus singing Christmas songs. Among their favorites was this old spiritual. The chorus had been around for generations, but John Work, W-O-R-K, added the stanzas. Work had graduated from Fisk and returned to teach Latin and Greek there and to arrange music for the Jubilee Singers. Along with his brother Frederick, he was a major force in the collecting and arranging of American spirituals. The chorus is reminiscent of Isaiah 40, verse 9. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid, say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. And so we'll sing all the verses of this, starting with the refrain.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled, when low above the earth sang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in the lonely manger, the humble child was born, and God sent us salvation. that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hill and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
The next one is just across the page, Angels We Have Heard on High, 289. This was written by Edmund Sears, a Unitarian minister. Does anyone know what a Unitarian is? They don't believe in the Trinity. Isn't it amazing? No. But unlike many of his colleagues, he did believe in the deity of Christ. He also believed in the angel's message of peace on earth. This hymn, written in Massachusetts in 1849, focuses on the angel's song of peace on earth. Like many hymns written in America during the mid-1800s, it might be called a horizontal hymn. Such hymns called people to live well, to be at peace, and to honor God. But God was neither the recipient of praise nor the central focus of the song. The focus was on the human struggle in this world. Peace was a timely topic when Sears penned these words. Tensions were rising in America, leading toward the Civil War. But the peace promised by the angel is not only national, it's personal as well. Sears' third stanza encourages the weary traveler to draw hope from the angel's song. So sort of the idea that, yeah, we tell the story, but it's a time to rejoice. So let's stand and sing this hymn, all three verses. And while we do it, could we have someone to put out the candles for us? Okay? Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous praise. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Thank you.